أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Tonight we have assembled to commemorate the aftermath of the greatest tragedy that has occurred in the history of Islam, indeed the history of the world. Unfortunately, the tragedy did not end at the time when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed. It continued even beyond. The horse on which Imam alayhi salam was mounted now came back to the camp without a rider. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says that أَقْبَلَ فَرَسُ الْحُسَيْنِ, the horse of Imam Hussein came back, حَتَّى لَطَّخَ عُرْفَهُ وَنَاصِيَتَهُ بِدَمِ الْحُسَيْنِ, the horse came and colored its forehead and its mane with the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. وَجَعَلَ يَرْكُضُ وَيَصْحَلْ, and it began to neigh and to shout and to jump as it came near the camp. فَسَمِعَ بَنَاتُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَهِيلَ, the family of the Prophet heard this horse shouting and jumping outside. فَخَرَجْنَا, they all came out of the camp. فَإِذَا الْفَرَسُ بِلَا رَاكِبٍ, and they found the horse without the rider. Umm Kulthum, she put her hand on her head and she started lamenting. Wa Muhammada, wa Jadda, wa Nabiya, wa Abul Qasima, wa Aliya, wa Ja'fara, wa Hamzata, wa Hasana. She kept on remembering the elders of the family and lamenting and wailing. هذا حسين بالعرى قد سلب الإمام والردى, this is Hussein who has fallen on the ground, his imama, his turban, has been snatched away. صريع بكربلا محزوز الرأس من القفا, his head has been severed from the back. This was just the beginning. Imam, the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Faraja, in Ziyarat Nahiya, remembers this incident and this scenario by saying, وَأَسْرَعَ فَرَسُكَ شَارِدًا, salam be on you, your horse came back with eccentric behavior back to the camp. إِلَىٰ خِيَامِكَ قَاصِدًا مُحَمْحِمًا بَاكِيًا, your horse was crying, O Hussein. فَلَمَّ رَأَيْنَا النِّسَاءَ جَوَادَكَ مَخْزِيًّا, and when the ladies of the camp saw the horse, how it had been abased, نَظَرْنَ سَرْجَكَ عَلَيْهِ مَلْوِيًّا, they found your saddle had been toppled over. بَرَزْنَ مِنَ الْخُدُورِ, they came out of the camp, نَاشِرَاتِ الشُّعُورِ, they opened their hair in a sign of grief, عَلَى الْخُدُودِ لَاطِمَاتِ, they began to slap their cheeks, الْوُجُوهُ سَافِرَاتِ, their faces open, obviously their faces must have been open, them surrounding themselves. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had left clear instructions, do not grieve and moan and weep over me in a way that is against the Sharia. All of this must have been done in such a way that the outsider could not see. Their faces were open. بِالْعَوِيلِ دَاعِيَاتِ وَبَعْدَ الْعِزِّ مُذَلَّلَاتِ, and they cried out in lamentation and in weeping. This was the first stage. Unfortunately, the tragedy doesn't stop here. It continues. The next phase now is this killing frenzy that came over this human form of animals, they began attacking the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His shirt was snatched by Ishaq bin Hawba. His trousers were looted by Bahr bin Ka'b. His turban was taken away by Akhnas bin Marthad. His shoes were snatched by Aswad bin Khalid. His ring with the finger was chopped off by Bajdal bin Sulaim. His robe and his dress was taken by Qais bin Ash'ath. His armor was taken by Umar ibn Sa'd. His bow and his dress were taken by Ruhail and Hani and Jarir. His sword, not the Zulfiqar. The Zulfiqar was a special sword that was left in Medina with Umm Salama, which would be transferred to the next Imam. His other sword was taken by Jumay' bin Khalq. All his possessions, he was basically stripped. Only that dress which he wore inside, which was undesirable and nobody wanted to touch it, remained on his body. Otherwise, everything was taken away. Not only did they loot, now the orders came to trample the body. Umar ibn Sa'd announced, "Man yantadibu lil Husayni wa yuti'u farasah." Who is there to volunteer amongst you and take his horse and trample the body of Hussein? 10 people. Not everyone had the audacity or the depravity to carry out this heinous crime. 10 people responded, including Ishaq bin Haywa and Ahbash or Akhnas bin Marthad and 8 others. And later on they proudly described their crime. They said, "Nahnu radadna al-dhahra ba'da al-sadri bikulli ya'bubi shadeed al-asri hatta asayna rabb al-amri bisun'ina ma'a al-husayn al-tuhri." We are the ones who took our horses and we trampled the chest and the back of Hussein. We took the strongest horses we had, the biggest horses we had, the swiftest horses we had for this task. Oh, we disobeyed the command of our Lord. Oh, we trampled the purest creation of God. They proudly did this. How can a human being be so depraved and so low as to carry out this task? One of the historians says that Umar Az-Zahid says, "I checked the background of these people and I discovered all of them are waladu zina." They came from a background where their very birth and their upbringing was in a sinful lifestyle. For them, evil was good. No, for them, evil was better than good. The surprising thing is these same people report that we were trampling the body of Imam and the chest of the Imam and the back of the Imam. We noticed something on the back. We saw some dark marks on his back. And when we went and asked, we were told that these dark signs are signs of what Imam Hussein used to do in Medina. At the darkness of the night, he used to carry bags of food and distribute it to the poor. Nobody knew. The enemy discovered this. This was between him and God. They didn't stop at trampling. They went further and they started plundering the tents. The sixth holy Imam says, "Ma lan nasu ila al-warsi wal-hulali wal-ibil." This frenzy of killing and trampling and looting and plundering. Now they attacked the tents. They went right into the tents. They took the expensive dresses. They took away the cosmetics. They took away even the camel. There was one camel which was kept for collecting water. وَانْتَهَبُوهَا ثَقَلِهِ وَمَتَاعِهِ. Again, most of these people involved in this were those same people who were involved in the trampling of the body. Next, they started attacking the women. جَاذَبُ النِّسَاءَ مَلَاحِي فَهُنَّ. Now they started pulling their outer robes till Umar ibn Sa'd had to order them to stop this. Now they even started attacking the ornaments and the jewelry of the women as they were wearing it. Fatima bint al-Husayn reports that one of the plunderers came to me. They were taking away our rings, they were taking our earrings, they were taking our anklets. One of them came to me and he started pulling my earring, but he was crying at the same time. So I told him, "Aduwwallah lima tabki, oh, the enemy of God, why do you cry?" And the man said, "Aslubu binta Rasulillahi wala abki." These are the daughters of the Prophet. I plunder them and I loot them and I snatch away from them and I shouldn't cry. These were Muslims. They knew the Prophet. They knew the family of the Prophet. They knew the family was sacred. They had their sanctity. It's not possible to commit this crime and not feel some sympathy. So she tells him, "Fada'hu, then why do you snatch?" And he says, "Akhafu an la ya'khudhahu ghayri. If I don't loot and snatch and plunder, somebody else will come and take it." This frenzy that took over them, it's not to excuse their behavior or to justify it, but this frenzy that took over them made them commit this heinous crime, so much so that a neutral person on the army of Ibn Sa'd, there was a lady, Humayd bin Muslim is the reporter, official reporter of Umar ibn Sa'd's army. He says, "I saw a lady from the tribe of Bani Bakr bin Wa'il. She was there with her husband in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. When she saw this wanton plundering and looting and trampling, she took the sword. She took the sword and rushed to the camp. And she said, 'Ya Ala Bakr bin Wa'il, oh, the tribesmen of Bani Bakr bin Wa'il, Atuslab banatu Rasulillah, how dare, how dastardly on you that you come and plunder from the daughters of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. La hukma illa lillah.'" And she raises a sword. The same slogan which the Khawarij used to have. "La hukma illa lillah. Allah's rule shall reign. Ya litharati Rasulillah." Till her husband had to come and overpower her and contain her and take her back. The situation was so pathetic that even an independent woman could not contain herself. Humayd bin Muslim, the reporter, neutral, doesn't participate in the battle, just reports, but he claims he tried to control the damage that was being done. So Humayd bin Muslim says, "In our attack, we finally reached the camp in which Ali ibn al-Husayn was located. We found him sleeping on a rug. He was so sick, he couldn't even stand up. Shimr and his other foot soldiers entered the camp and he said, 'Oh, this young man is alive. Ala naqtul hadha. Why is he not dead? Why not kill him?'" So Humayd bin Muslim says, "I stood up in support and defense of this man. I said, 'Subhanallah, anaqtulu sabiyan? Do we go and kill young people also? Look at him, hadha sabi, he's so young.'" Humayd claims, "I defended Husayn, Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali from all the attackers after Shimr left." Somehow Shimr was convinced. "And other attackers came. Against all attackers, I defended this young man." But another tradition says, no, the person who came to defend was the holy lady Zainab. When the ruthless, brutal attackers wanted to assault Imam Zainul Abideen, she came and she embraced him and she said, "La wallah, la yuqtal hatta uqtal. First you kill me, then you can touch his body." And obviously they had some sense of decency as not to touch the women. Finally, Umar ibn Sa'd arrived. Umar ibn Sa'd gave the instructions, "La yadkhulanna bayta ha'ula'i niswa ahad. Let not anybody enter the tent of the women. La ya'ridanna lihadha al-ghulam al-marid. Let not anyone try to assault this young sick boy. Man akhadha min mata'ihim shay'an fayaruddah alayhim. Whoever has stolen and plundered and looted whatever their possessions are, let him return it back to them." Humayd bin Muslim said, Umar ibn Sa'd gave the instructions, but not a single attacker, looter, plunderer returned anything. However, Umar ibn Sa'd did appoint guards outside this camp, and the guards were instructed not to mistreat. Not only this, they went one step ahead. They now started lighting fires in the camp, and the women had to rush out to protect their lives. Luhuf Sayyid ibn Ta'us, the Maqtal, says, Kharajna hawasira musallabatin hafiyatin bakiyatin yamshina sabaya fil asri dhilla fi asri dhilla. The women rushed out from their camps and their outer dress was falling off. They had been looted and plundered. They were bare feet. They had to rush for their lives. They were crying and weeping and lamenting and shouting. And now they were being taken captives. All this was happening on the human level. But there was another group of changes that was occurring on a natural, physical, universal level. So for example, we are told, and this incident is reported even in the Sunni sources, Sunan Tirmidhi, for example, Mu'jam of Tabrani, Mustadrak of Hakim al-Sahihain, Usdul Ghaba, many Sunni sources have reported this particular incident. They say that Salma was the neighbor of Ummu Salama, the wife of the Prophet. She heard her around this time, the day of Ashura, suddenly shout out loudly and weep and cry. So Salma rushed to the house of Ummu Salama and said, Ma yubkiki, why is that you cry suddenly and so loudly? This is very unusual. What's happening? So Ummu Salama says, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. I just had a dream and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. وَعَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ وَعَلَىٰ لِحْيَتِهِ التُّرَابِ. And I saw dust on his hair and dust on his beard. So I asked him, مَا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is happening to you, O Prophet? I've never seen you like this. And the Prophet said, وَثَبَ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ إِبْنِي. People have attacked my son. فَقَتَلُوهُ. And they've killed him. شَهِدْتُ قَتْلَ الْحُسَيْنِ آنِفَ. Just now, I have come and witnessed the massacre and the slaughter and the butchering of Hussein and his children in Karbala. Umm Salama says, I woke up suddenly. I was shivering and trembling. And I remembered that the Prophet had left some sample of an earth with me, which I kept in a glass container. She rushed to the glass. And she picked it up and she saw the earth turning red. No, she saw it tafuru daman abita, fresh blood flowing in that container. So she tells Salma, this is what has happened. And they spread the news. And people say, oh, this old lady is seeing some funny dreams. Don't listen to her. And yet, after a few days, when the report does reach Medina about the massacre, they discover what this lady, old lady, had seen was actually the truth. There is a truth happening in the universe. People see dreams. Sometimes dreams turn out to be true. That king in the time of Prophet Yusuf could see a dream which turned out to be true. He says that he could not interpret it. But there are people who have the capacity, who are sincere, who are humble, who are pious, who are righteous, who are God-fearing. Of all the wives of the Prophet, she alone reported this. And the Prophet did visit her, inasmuch as he visited Ibn Abbas in his dreams and reported to him what had happened. Almost the same description. The angelic realm, the holy souls, the prophets, the last prophet, Imam Ali, the holy lady, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, all of them from the world of Barzakh, were witnessing this horrendous crime. Not only that, beyond that, the changes that occurred in the natural world, the riwayah says and the historical reports say, the moment the slaughter occurred, the sun was eclipsed. Suddenly it became dark. Suddenly in midday, before the sunset, we started seeing stars. Number two, the report says suddenly at that time a black, dark dust began to rise. A third report says anytime you picked up a stone after that and you found blood flowing below it. A fourth report say that no, we found red dust or red rain falling on that day. A fifth report says that the sixth Holy Imam, he says there are two individuals in the history of the world for whom the skies even cried. Inna as-samaa'a bakat 'ala al-Husayni wa 'ala Yahya bin Zakariya. وَلَمْ تَبْكِي عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ غَيْرِهِمَا. And the heavens did not cry for anyone other than these two. مَكَثُوا أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا تَطْلُعُ الشَّمْسُ وَتَغْرُبُ بِحُمْرَةٍ. The sun used to rise and used to set with redness. Well, the sun rises and sets always with redness. But on this occasion, there was intense and increased redness. There were some changes occurring in the very core of existence. The sixth Holy Imam says, مَا قُتِلَتْ قِتْلَةً أَحَدْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. مَا قُتِلَتْ, nobody has been killed and butchered and slaughtered and massacred the way Imam Hussein alayhi salam had been killed. تَبْكِيهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ, the heavens cry for him. وَالْأَرْضُ, and the earth. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ, and the angels. وَالْوَحْشُ, and the animals. وَالْحِيْتَانُ, and the fish in the sea. وَالْجِبَالُ, and the mountains. The whole of the creation. The Quran says there is nothing in existence but that it glorifies and celebrates the glory of the Lord. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضُ. Several surahs are there in the Quran which say this. Or the Quran says, some people are in obedience to God, some people are not. For example, in Surah Hajj, chapter 22, Allah says that, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Don't you see that whoever is in the heavens and whoever is in the earth is making sajda to Allah? وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُّ. And the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountains and the trees and the animals, all of them are making sajda to Allah. Every creature, every creation has some degree of consciousness. We may not know that degree of consciousness, but animals have been discovered to have certain sensitivities. When an earthquake is about to occur, the animal's behavior changes even before the scientists can with their seismographs, can even detect traces of the earthquake appearing. The animal has already got a sense and a perception to be able to pick up the signals. Well, there is a degree of consciousness we're not aware. Dogs can hear in a range of frequency much lower or much higher than we can. Our perceptions are not the only means to know what's happening in the universe. There is a degree of consciousness that's prevalent that we're not aware of. And the Quran says every item of creation is in sajda to Allah, but you don't know. Everything is in praise of Allah, but you don't know. The Quran says the heavens did not weep for Fir'aun. In Surah Dukhan, Allah says that Fir'aun was drowned with his whole army. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. The heavens did not cry, the earth did not cry. Well, why say the heavens did not cry? Do heavens cry? Oh yes, the heavens can cry, but not for everyone. Only for some people. The riwayah says only for Imam Hussein and Yahya bin Zakariya, the heavens cried. Indeed, even stones in the Quran have been introduced. In Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 70, Allah says there are some stones which burst and a spring of water flows. There are some stones which fall and then water flows. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And some of them don't burst and some of them don't fall and release water. Some of them just fall without any effect, but they fall out of the fear of God. There is some consciousness in these inanimate creation. Yet in the same ayah, Allah says that ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً Ayah 74. But some hearts are so hard-hearted, they are stony hard, they don't move, they don't weep, they are ruthless, they are merciless, they are senseless. They don't respond, they have no mercy or compassion. In fact, stones are even not as hard as some hearts. Stones can fall, stones can cry, stones can release water, stones can cause a spring to flow. And that's why we are told, despite all these changes, there are some people who celebrated, there are some people who rejoiced, there are some people who came back to Kufa and built up mosques in celebration. Shabath bin Rabai, for example. Everyone cried on this day, the heavens and the earth. Indeed, the Jannah and Jahannam, what we see and what we don't see, ma yura wa ma la yura, the riwayah and the ziyarah say, all of them cried, except for Damascus. Damascus did not cry. Except for certain families, except for the Bani Umayyah, except for Basra, they did not cry. They did not weep. They were hard-hearted. Our dedication, our loyalty, our sympathy, our compassion for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that on this day and on the subsequent days, in sympathy with the Prophet and with the family of the Prophet, and especially the ladies on this night as they were undergoing all the suffering, we weep and we mourn. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Matam al-Husayn.